Blessed is the womb that bore thee. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Blessed Mary of the Angels, a Carmelite nun, said it was almost beyond belief how many times the poor souls came to her either to ask for her prayers or to thank her for their deliverance from purgatory. Once, she said, one of the sisters who had died came back to her at night in a vision, but all clad in white, shining bright, a kind of a transfiguration scene, as in last Sunday's gospel. Fearing some illusion of the devil, she made the sign of the cross, as Saint Bernadette did, and then the vision smiled and disappeared. But she came again the following night and said that God had sent her to let her know that she was now in the enjoyment of eternal bliss, and to tell the Sister Superior, evidently she had been asking about this, that it was not in God's plan for her to know whether or not she would go to purgatory after her death, but that she should place her confidence in Saint Joseph and in the souls in purgatory, which is excellent advice for any of us. Interesting, too, to note that even saints feared being deceived by the devil. Why don't we? Why do we believe everything we hear? After all, how else does the devil manage to come back with seven demons worse than himself? One of the devil's most frequent and effective strategies is surely to sow seeds of doubt in our soul. To doubt God, his revelation, our Catholic faith. To doubt his love for us. And then, because you need some love in your life, to look for it in sinful ways. Or to doubt God's providence, fostering that kind of an unhealthy sense of self-reliance, which is so much of a modern characteristic. To doubt God's forgiveness, and to be wrapped up in a fiery mantle of guilt which consumes us on the inside. They don't call him the Lord of the Flies for nothing. Beelzebub is constantly buzzing about our ears. Dispersive gossip, they call it. In other words, some juicy tidbit you're meant to tell to at least one other person. And you do repeat it. Or those thoughts that come simultaneously to justify your own actions and to attribute malevolent motives to the actions of your neighbor. There is no doubt that purgatory is populated by pious souls who doubted or who perhaps traded up. I mean, to go from one demon to seven Satans or adversaries. Great carnal sins mark many before their conversion. St. Paul says, fornicator and idolater, a covetous person. But these kinds of sins, as a rule, give way for the practicing Catholic. But sometimes their place is taken by worse devils. St. Paul, in his epistle to the Galatians, we read it on the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, enumerates seven such Satans or adversaries, seven sins against charity, hostile feelings first, and then three double vices, discord and jealousy, angry outbursts and displays either of selfishness or plotting or conspiracies, dissensions, divisions, to say nothing of the eighth demon, which is envy. Pick your poison. Thank God we have an antidote in her who is blessed for having heard the word of God and kept it. Kept it in her heart always, even as she fed those first few years the word of God made man with her own milk and housed him there in her womb for 9 months, a house of gold. So hospitable is Mary in her humility. Saint Alphonsus tells the story of a certain nun, Sister Catherine, who had the beautiful practice of praying for all of the poor souls, both known and unknown, but there was one poor soul for whom she never thought to pray. She was a very sinful woman living in the same area. The town fathers, because of her scandals, finally banished her from the city limits, and she died alone, abandoned by all, and after some time was discovered and buried barely. Everyone presumed that that old sinner Mary was damned. Exactly. 4 years later, a poor soul appeared to the nun, Sister Catherine, and said, "Sister, you have the pious practice of praying for all the dead. Don't make an exception concerning me. Why, who are you? I am poor Mary, who died all alone and abandoned. Are you saved?" "I have been saved," she said, "thanks to the intercession of Our Lady. I realized I was dying, and there was nobody to come to me. And so I turned to the Madonna, and I said, 'Oh, my Queen, you are the refuge of sinners and of the abandoned. Look on my helplessness. Help me.' And she did. She heard my prayer. She obtained for me the grace to make an act of perfect contrition, and I was saved on my deathbed." But the Divine Mother's mercy was not limited to this. "When I stood before Jesus, my judge, Mary, my mother, was there. And she obtained from her son, in spite of it all, the grace for my purgatory to be limited. But because of the divine justice, it was merely made more intense, my suffering. But as it is now, I stand in need of only some masses to be offered for my release. If you help me, I promise I'll always pray for you to God and Our Lady." Sister Catherine, as soon as she could, arranged for the masses. And a few days later, she saw Mary's soul ascending into glory. She came back to thank her, though, for her charity. I love this story. You and I, little secret, you and I, you know, wretched sinners, we are Mary souls. We're abandoned by all sensible people. We only deserve to be driven out of polite company. We should never really complain about the way we're treated. St. Gertrude the Great is a church for sinners built outside the city limits of conventional Latin Mass mentality beyond the borders of everything that is reasonable and respectable for all the rest. It has always been so, and that is why every decade or so, some pious folk get to looking around and then thinking and talking a bit, and then they realize, I'm surrounded with sinners. I've got to get out of here. And it's true. We are Mary souls. Now, if only we would be Mary's souls. Such a grace those who are devoted to her receive, that warm welcome into the house of gold, our Blessed Mother's heart, the only one who has never been, after all, a house of Satan, nor ever shall be, Our Lady Immaculate. If she opens her door to us in this life, refuge of sinners, be sure she does. You rarely have to ring twice to keep us from relapsing and to keep the devil out. Why, she comes herself in the afterlife to purgatory, where she reigns as queen, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, to usher us home to heaven, or at least she sends angels to refresh us and then to take us home to heaven. She does this on Saturdays, especially the first Saturday after the death of her children who have prayed her rosary and worn her scapular. But she also does it on the great feast days of the year, and especially on her feasts, the Feast of the Assumption. St. Bridget says she calls herself the mother of the souls in purgatory. Now, what mother, recognizing a child of hers and being able to help him, would not do so? She is the mother of mercy to all of her dear children in purgatory, as she is for us on earth. Mary souls, do you desire mercy for your poor souls and the poor souls in purgatory? Dwell in her house. Hear this word of God today and keep it. And lift up your voice and say every day, blessed is the womb that bore thee. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.